Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
Thanks for being on the line tonight. Again, this is Zuma's Health Education Call, and I'm Ken Marsh, your host. And tonight I get to spend some time with a woman who is part of Zuma's Scientific Advisory Board, been part of Zuma's family for a long, long time now. She is an absolute awesome source of information for health and wellness information, simply because that's her day-to-day world she lives in. She is the owner of her own practice, naturopathic doctor at the Olive Leaf, and she does a whole lot beyond that. She's a very accomplished and very successful practitioner in the health and wellness industry down in the great state of Georgia. And of course, when she gets a little time to spend with us on this call, I'm always excited about it because I tend to always learn something new when she speaks about whatever topic is she's covering. And tonight, I think the topic is a really good one because I think she's going to help most of us, if not all of us on this line, understand more about something that is becoming popular, but something that there's still a lot of unknowing knowledge about, or people are very confused about. So she's going to cover a very important topic tonight. And of course, I'm talking about our very own Dr. Melissa Bennett. So Dr. Bennett, are you out there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. I appreciate you being on the line tonight, Melissa. And I am excited about this call because you're covering a topic that I have been exposed to pretty heavily, but only over like the last 6 months.
Right.
I've gotten myself immersed in this topic, and so I'm still learning a lot about it, and I know a lot of people are going to be interested to hear more about what you're going to share tonight, so I am going to turn the call over to you.
Sure. Well, today we're going to be talking about peptides, and I know I did a talk several weeks ago on the GLP-1 meds, and they're actually peptides, but I started thinking about it, Ken, and I was like, you know what? I realized that unless you actually know what peptides are, then you really aren't going to understand how these medications affect you or how peptides affect you. So it was something I started thinking about, and I'm like, you know what, we're going to backtrack a little bit and just go to, you know, knowing about the actual what it is, because you hear the word thrown around a lot, but like you say, it's becoming mainstream, but people will hear it and they'll seem like they know about it, but then they don't really know about it. So we're going to dive in so everyone on the call or whoever shares it, they're going to understand exactly what the peptides are, because you never know. Someone could walk up to you and go, hey, do you know about peptides? And you'll be like, yeah, I actually do, because Dr. Melissa told me about it. So I'm like, because no one else is going to actually tell you. They just kind of assume that we know what this is. So it's going to be kind of a little mixture of a science lesson, but also a little history and the backstory to peptides, and then actually kind of like how they work in your body and what they do. And actually, before this call, I decided to use analogies, because analogies are a really, really great way of explaining scientific information, but it gives us a visual perception of how things work. And I love these little characters that got on my feet. I used to have the bears, but now they're gone. Now I get these little Instagram caricatures of organs. They're like organ systems, and they're really, really funny. And they do a really great job of breaking down like complex scientific information, but they cuss a lot. What is that? So they'll be showing you like about your, I don't know, your stomach, but the stomach will be cussing out the pancreas. It's just weird. But it does give you some good information if you can bypass all of that. So what we're going to talk about, like I said, is peptides. And basically, you know, if you break it down, it's just a short chain amino acids. And everyone's heard, right, that amino acids are the building blocks of protein. So proteins, if you think about this in your mind, they're like these long sentences, and peptides are like the little short messages. So they act like little messengers in your body, helping your cells communicate and telling your body what to do. So if you think about peptides like a little text message, a communication system between your cells, they actually have some really, really important business in the body. They help with metabolism. They help with your blood sugar. They help with appetite control. muscle growth and repair, healing, sleep, mood, and hormone production. So they do a lot. So you can see they're just in charge, and they do a lot of stuff. But they've always been with us. You know, God created us with peptides. It wasn't something that man created. But the actual history behind it is that peptides began getting really studied in the 1800s. And that's when scientists really first discovered all of these little small chains of amino acids. And one of the first major breakthroughs came in the 1920s when insulin was discovered. And insulin is actually a peptide hormone. Since the 1920s, it's been around, and it saved millions and millions of lives just by helping people manage diabetes. And then in 1953, scientists created something called oxytocin. And oxytocin is also called the love hormone because it plays a really big role in bonding and trust in childbirth. You hear about that, you know, the word for milk production. And that achievement really proved that they can start biologically kind of creating these peptides, and they could be manufactured and used therapeutically. So it was like they were taking something natural and kind of starting to, you know, use it from a more pharmacological standpoint. And then in the 1960s, peptide production just sped up, right? It started to get really fast, and scientists began discovering new peptides, and these peptides influence like growth, healing, metabolism, and hormone function. Then we jump from 60s to 80s, and there we are with this growth hormone releasing peptide. And then that opens the door to help with like muscle support, maintenance, healthy aging. That's when you started seeing a lot of these anti-aging clinics popping up. And then we jump to the 2000s, and that's when we're now into the GLP-1 meds, and we've got drugs like Ozempic and Mounjaro and other drugs like that that are based on this history of peptide science that was already naturally in the body. And it's really interesting, you know, when you think about it, before 1920, this blew my mind, right? It's like less than 2% of the industrialized population had type 2 diabetes. So if you calculated that, that's 40 million people throughout the world that were in industrialized countries. Now we have 589 million people worldwide. And then according to the diabetes website, that projection is going to be 853 million by 2050. So what happened, right? We know what happened. We know that back then, back in the day, they had lower sugar. They were moving. They were farmers. They were out and about. They had food scarcity cycles back then. You know, people ran out of food, and then they would have to figure out, their body would have to actually figure out how to function without as much food. They did not have processed food. It was very, I don't even know if they even had it, but if it's there, it's very low process. And then today, we jump, you know, all the way up here to 2026, and we've got constant refined carbs. We've got sedentary lifestyles, chronic eating, and high caloric availability. So it's like everything's at our disposal to our demise, is how I look at it, because it's just, sometimes you just want to go back in time and go, okay, you know, you still want to have a bathroom, but you but you want to get rid of the processed food and all the stuff that we are bombarded with now that we didn't have to deal with, our ancestors did not have to deal with. And it's just crazy, right? It's just crazy to think about. So instead of focusing on dietary changes, it became easier for just, you know, the science to kind of create systems where we can treat obesity as a disease. And that's the direction that we're going in. And even people that aren't obese, that think they're obese, you know, trying to lose 10 or 20 pounds, they're jumping on a lot of things that we don't know down the road how they're going to affect them. And the body makes natural peptides. While prescription peptides, they're getting all this attention, right? But our bodies naturally produce hundreds of these peptides every single day. When you sit down and you eat, you're producing peptides. So it makes sense that the healthier your cells are, the better communication, like I said, those peptides are the messengers, the better the communication system works, the healthier you're going to be. And this is why nutrition, hydration, reducing inflammation, and supporting the gut microbiome and maintaining that healthy cellular functions, that's all foundational whether you're on a GLP-1 or not, those things have to be handled, because it's not just about throwing someone on a medication. If they're not doing the foundational part, then they're missing it, right? Because they're just relying on something that's triggering the body to do a certain thing that maybe it's not equipped to handle. I'm going to explain that. So the goal is not just focusing right on that one peptide. It's just creating an environment where your body says, hey, its natural communication system is going to function optimally. And this is how, by, you know, God, I always go back to God because he's our creator, and he designed this, and it's just so amazing that, like I said, your gut, every time you eat, it's making these peptides. So this is fascinating, because most people don't, that when you say peptide, they automatically assume pharmacy. We are getting trained to think peptide pharmaceutical. That's how conditioning works, you know, over time. So, you know, you've got the diabetic medication, you've got happy people, very happy that they're on a certain medication on TV. And you're like, they shouldn't really be happy about that, but they are. So it's just a really slow process of kind of training our brains to accept that everything has to be put in from the outside and not focused from the inside out. So every time you eat, like I said, your body starts producing these peptide signals. And then your gut and brain, they start having this conversation. So basically, they start regulating that GLP-1, which helps you feel full. They start discussing hunger signals, and they start telling you each other that they're full, and regulating blood sugar. So your brain is connected. It's what they call the gut, the second brain. So when we look at peptides, we see that they're trying to communicate with each other. And, you know, when you think about those little text messages between cells, they're doing that every second of the day. Your cells are sending and receiving messages. And it's going to tell your body all these things, like when to heal, when to build muscle, when to burn fat, when you're going to sleep, when you're going to wake up, when to fight infection. I mean, they're really so important. But without communication, it's not going to work. So your body, this is a good analogy right here. I was thinking, it's like if your body is a large company, so some bodies are larger companies than others, but if your body is a large company, your cells, they're the employees, right? They're working in the body. Your hormones are the managers of the cells, and peptides are like the emails going back and forth between all of these things. And when communication is real clear, the company runs very smoothly. But when the communication gets disrupted, then everything becomes inefficient. And that same thing happens in our body, because most people don't realize that, that as food enters your digestive system, your intestines start releasing the peptide signals that communicate with your brain, your pancreas, your liver, and all your organs. So every time, you know, it's a natural occurrence. It's not something that's manufactured. And I love the word manufactured, because manufactured is man. It's M-A-N, manufactured, you know, they make it. And medications are just becoming famous because they mimic or they enhance this natural pathway. So, you know, the things that we look at is how did the medications work? And I'm not anti-med. I'm going to sit here and say that right now. I mean, I went through chemo for 2 years. I know there's good medicine out there. But there's a place and a time to use it. And it shouldn't be something that everyone jumps on the bandwagon with, because we don't know down the road what's going to happen. And so you want to look at, you know, how do you, if your body is making peptides, why do you need a peptide medication? It's because the medication, and this is how it works, it amplifies signals. So you have a natural signaling, like the peptides in your body, they're natural. They're having a normal conversation. They're like, hey, how you doing? And they're talking in a very low tone. The medication comes in with a microphone or a megaphone. So the GLP-1, this is a good example, is naturally produced after eating, but medications like semaglutide and mimic and extend that signal. So this will improve weight loss and blood sugar, right? But the stronger signals can also cause side effects, because you get, some people get nausea, they get constipated, they have something called delayed stomach emptying. And it's because the signal is stronger, because it's from an outside source, than what the body naturally produces. So it's kind of like it's coming in and it's taking over a natural process that the body, over time, because of different factors, we've kind of worn away the signaling. The signaling can't be heard anymore. So that's the reason that it's such a good timing for these medications to come about, because people have lost their signals. And so you want to support the natural peptides. And so these are ways to do it. So you want to use quality protein. You want to focus on healthy digestion, because you think about it, you have to break down the protein to get the amino acids to get the peptides. So movement is another way we want to support. As we're moving, our body's communicating. It's a really good thing. Sleep is crucial, and I'll go into that a little bit more. Balanced blood sugar is so important, and reduced inflammation and hydration. So hydration, which is what we have at Zuma, right, is the X2O. It's like the cellular network that carries all the messages throughout the body. So without water, your communication system breaks down. And with low protein intake, that communication, you know, starts to break down. If you start using excess sugar and refined carbs, which is what everybody does, it breaks down. So an ultra-processed food, chronic overeating, not listening to your body when your body is trying to tell you, hey, I need to stop, because you'll get that little signal that says, okay, I'm full. But if you ignore that signal and you bypass it, and if you remember back in the 80s, it was actually 80s, 90s ago, and you could just go in and supersize everything. It was so weird. It actually feels like, you know, it was kind of set up for us to start eating so horribly that by the time we get to now, it's like there has to be a cure, because everything was supersized, everything. So everybody was just overindulging. And as they're doing that, they're cutting down and cutting out that little communication pathway. Excess alcohol always has an effect on the body, but especially with the GLPs and actually just any type of communication signal, because it'll affect sleep and everything else. Nutrient deficiencies like zinc, magnesium, vitamin D, B vitamins, iron, and selenium. Those are like core nutrients to help with our natural peptides. And, you know, if I would look at this, if you're looking at trying to figure out how to help your body, you want to focus on these areas, because you can make your own peptides. You have the ability, but you have to work at it to actually achieve it. And instead of just running out going, you know what, I need to lose this amount of weight and I'm going to take this weight out. You know, if you're diabetic, a whole different story. I have to stress that, because I'm not trying to say if you're diabetic, you don't need a medication. But if you're just using it for weight loss, which is now the new target market, you just don't know the after effects of something until 5 years later when you're watching TV and they go, by the way, if you took this blah, 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 you need to call this attorney. And you don't want to be one of those people. You want to be able to know and make educated decisions. So one, back to sleep, because this is really important. One of the most powerful ways you can support natural peptide function is sleep. Because during sleep, especially when you get into that deep sleep, your body starts releasing these signal molecules, and that's when your body starts to repair and to recover, and your immune function gets better, and tissue maintenance, all of that has to do with sleep. So many people overlook this while they're searching for all these anti-aging solutions. They're all like, oh, you know, I'm going to do this cosmetic thing and I'm going to do that cosmetic thing. And really, if they could focus on getting that sleep, that's going to help restore everything that they need. Some of the foods that we can get peptides from are eggs, fish, chicken, beef, turkey, legumes, nuts, and seeds. And, you know, I always talk about, well, some people, as you get older, it's harder to break down these foods. So that's why we have, like, digestive enzymes, right, with Zuma. Because if you're able to break it in, this is a great analogy again. Digestive enzymes act like scissors. So they're breaking down the protein into the amino acid, and then the amino acid actually turns into these peptide fragments. So basically, you've got this chain. You've got protein getting broken down, amino acids, peptides, hormones, and enzymes. And then there are transmitters and repair molecules. So it's just a nice circle of what happens when you actually absorb the foods that you're eating, because this is why digestion is so important. And if your digestion is impaired, it becomes really difficult to get those building blocks. Like, you have to break it down. That's why in my office, I focus a lot on two different areas, actually. Focus on GI testing, because I want to find out, do people have, you know, a leaky gut? Is there something going on with where they're not absorbing what they need to? And I want to repair that so that they can have that. And I do this test like all over the United States. So the other thing I look at are neurotransmitter testing. Again, neurotransmitters, again, are communication, like our serotonin or dopamine, all of those levels, you know, the messenger between all of these things are peptides. So it just starts, and it starts back with protein. I mean, it's so simple. It's like protein and then amino acids and peptides. You can also think about, you know, when you were in your 20s, it was so easy to recover. And then at 20, you can just run, you can stay up late all night, work all day, exercise, you bounce right back. But as you age, the recovery starts to get a little slower, the muscles take a little longer to recover, skin heals a little slower, and energy doesn't rebound as fast. So part of this involves the changes in that peptide communication. So it's like a phone battery. You have a full battery when you're 20, and then when your lower battery, it starts dropping signals. Well, the same thing happens in cells. But that doesn't mean you have to go in that direction, because if you follow things that are good for you, you're going to keep those peptides a lot longer, even though you're aging. And, you know, one of the things that I really want to stress with patients is it's all about making tiny little changes, you know, in the good direction. So it doesn't mean you have to change everything overnight. Even getting, you know, 6 to 8 hours, well, at Emory we learned it's at least 6 hours, no more than 9 hours. So there's that sweet window of 6 to 9 hours where you can get that deep sleep. And if you can sleep at least 7, that's really going to help you restore these peptides. So that's a really thing, something simple to focus on that can be very helpful in keeping your body where it needs to be. And, you know, if you're looking at blood sugar as well, we need to keep that blood sugar regulated. And you want to keep that, because everything else, and we have the products for that, which is so cool. And that's kind of where I'm going to give it over to you, Ken, because there's such a good arsenal of supplements and things that we have at Zuma to really enhance, along with people making lifestyle changes, to really keep our natural peptides where they need to be. Or if they've been shut down, the communication system is not doing what it needs to do, we can help it. So if it's got stagnant, you know, or something's going on, we can help build it back to better than it was before by making really awesome lifestyle choices to keep these peptides going before we run and jump on something that we don't really know in the long run how it's going to affect. I do have to clarify one thing. There is a difference between, there are peptides out there that are not pharmaceutical peptides. There are peptides that are based from natural things, and so peptides are not bad. Like if you're looking at peptides and you're wanting to enhance, let's say, brain function, you know, I have access to a peptide that can do that, but it's from a more natural source. It's not actually replacing the peptide. It's just helping the body produce its own peptide. So there's a difference in there. So I don't want to make people think that when they hear the word peptide, they need to run. That's not the case. I'm just saying, before you make a decision to take you know, something into your body, make sure you know all the things around it, and that you, even if you decide to go in that direction, you can support it. So you can do either one. So anyway, that's so what I have tonight, and I had to get all that out very quickly. So, but Ken, I think I broke it down pretty good, though.
No, you did, Melissa. I think that's a great overview, because here's what I also know about, because, you know, again, I kind of dove deep into this over the last 6 months. And, of course, like most people, you were saying, you know, their exposure to, quote-unquote, peptides has been the GLP-1s, right? Because those are so heavily advertised and marketed today. And so everybody thinks peptide, they automatically, or most people at least, think GLP-1s.
Yes.
But you're right. There's a lot more to peptides than that. The other side of this, and I know you're aware of this, There are a lot of what they consider at this point experimental peptides that are coming into the marketplace, and those are promising in terms of what they can possibly do for human bodies and health. But the problem is the vast majority of them do not have human clinical trials and data on them. And like you were saying, if you're going to pursue peptides of any kind, especially if they are more pharmaceutical and injectable in nature, you really, really need to know what you're putting in your body, where it's coming from, where it's sourced from. Because I know there's a whole subculture right now online, people that are experimenting with all types of different injectable peptides, but they're buying them as experimental drugs, and they're essentially creating themselves to be the guinea pigs, and in many cases not knowing where these peptides are coming from or how they've been produced, because they're not FDA regulated. So in my opinion, if you're somebody who's really digging into the peptide possibilities like I've been over the last 6 months, I'm going to encourage you to exercise a lot of caution, because it's a very new and emerging field. And I think, and maybe you would agree with this, Melissa, I think as we progress forward in time, I think there's going to be a lot of cool developments in the peptide field that will have great clinical data, human clinical data, that we can look on and say, okay, we know that this particular peptide can do these types of things, and it's had human data to prove of what's safe and what's not safe. And I think that's where the regulation piece comes in.
There's one right now that's, you know, it's not a medication, but it is a more of a nutraceutical peptide, and it's called a BPC-157 TB-500. Mm-hmm. It's like two different ones, and it's called the Wolverine Stack, right? So it's supposed to help with brain function. So obviously I'm looking into that for, you know, patient support and everything. I feel like it is. It's like the Wild West in peptides. Like everybody is just jumping in on it, but you really want to build up your body and kind of make sure your body has its own, you know, communication system. And then if you want to enhance it, try to do it the most natural way possible. Or like you're saying, wait until there's more clinical evidence supporting what's going on, so that you're not the guinea pig. Because it's kind of like we're messing around with things, and we don't really know until we know. So I think that's really smart advice. And I'm not poo-pooing peptides at all, because I see the future is going to be peptides, right? You know it's there. We're right on the edge. But we also want to make it sure it's very safe and make sure that it's not something you have to always take for the rest of your life. That's the other concern. I'm like, your body, you know, you don't want to get on something you have to continuously be on, or you're going to go backwards. And so that's the downfall at this moment of what I see with current peptides that are out there. So, but that's it. I mean, it is all about using your body's wisdom, or using your own wisdom, to figure out, okay, well, I want to try to get my own body to make these peptides. But if I do need, because some people have brain injuries, some people have things that they need to look into to enhance what God's already given them, and I'm excited about that. I think that's a cool thing to look at. I think it just needs a little bit more time.
Yeah, I agree with you. And under the guidance of a trusted, honest, legitimate healthcare practitioner like yourself, that's a much safer path. And I know people, in fact, that are buying these experimental, as they're labeled right now, peptides online. And I think, like you said, it's kind of the Wild West out there. It's a little bit early for most people, in my opinion, to be experimenting with something from a source that they're not sure of, or from somebody that they don't know. I would agree with you. If somebody's going to experiment with anything peptide related, especially an injectable level of a peptide, it needs to be done from somebody who you know you can trust, who's in the holistic health field like you are. I agree with that 100%. That being said, I also agree with your message tonight. Your overall message is, hey, let's see what we can do to give the body the materials that it needs to make this happen like God intended. And you were mentioning as an example protein. And, you know, one of the reasons that protein exists in our metabolize line is because we understand that protein, or high quality protein, you know, especially whey in our case with Zuma's protein shake, that's a precursor for, you know, developing a lot of healthy, normal, natural peptides into the, you know, proteins go into the peptides and amino acids. So The other thing you mentioned that I loved is you tied in the gut. I mean, I think about our Xyome 365, and that is an organic, 25 organic ingredient product, but it's soluble and insoluble fibers. And those, of course, feed and support those short chain fatty acids in the gut, which again, in turn, supports the body's ability to produce these healthy peptides. Of course, we've also got things in our line that ironically also fall into the metabolize category of helping to support deep restorative sleep. And that is so critical, like you said. You know, in fact, the Metabolize PM formula, we've advertised this forever in the Metabolize PM formula, that, you know, one of the advantages of using that particular formula is that it's going to support the body's natural ability to produce growth hormone, which is, again, possible when you get into that slow wave, deep sleep cycle. And again, if we're not getting that normally, you know, here's a supplement like the Metabolize PM formula that can help create that scenario in the body so the body can start to create its own natural growth hormone. And it's interesting because, again, going full circle, we hear talk about peptides all the time, but it's almost always redirected, at least it is today, back towards GLP-1. And yet when we look at how the metabolize system is set up in Zuma, it's set up in such a way where, you know, between the AM formula, which supports things like thyroid function and a bunch of other things for fat burning, the PM formula, which we just talked about, and then the protein fiber shake, again, there we go, fiber again, to support those needs that the body has for fiber, which again supports in turn production of, you know, these peptides. It's no wonder why we've had such success for so long with that weight management system, because the entire time, even though we've never really advertised it as a peptide supporting system, it really does. And that's
so cool.
Again, of course, why people are taking GLP-1s is to kind of get their body fat, you know, reduced and lose weight. And yet here in Metabolize, in that system of products, those three products, we've been supporting the body's needs to create those kinds of things and that natural GLP-1 just by giving the body the proper nutrition that it needs. So, I'm thrilled that, you know, we've been way ahead of this, even though we've never really talked about it in terms of peptides, but the Metabolize system has worked so well for so long. And I believe one of the reasons is because it does support, you know, the natural development of these critical peptides that help support things like managing, you know, body fat, managing weight, managing blood sugar, et cetera. Any final thoughts or comments you wanted to wrap up with before we end the call, Melissa?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to add in the X2O. I mean, because the body is water, right? And so every cell in your body depends on this hydration to function, you know, the way it needs to function. So peptides travel through the body fluids and interact with the receptors on the cells. So that good hydration supports that normal cellular communication. So it's just really, I always think about mineralization, obviously, and having a great pH, but by drinking X2O, we're actually helping our cells communicate with each other on a different level. So that's really cool. And also wanted to bring in a simulator just because we, you know, if you, as I said, sometimes as we get older, it's a lot harder, more difficult to break down certain foods, so especially proteins and things like that. So a simulator is nice to add to your arsenal as well, especially if you know you have some digestive issues, you know, breaking down the protein. So we just got a real, like you said, I didn't even think about that, but that whole program actually has been supporting the peptides all along. It was like pre-peptide, but it was already yeah. doing it, which is so cool. That's really neat.
Yeah, and again, here we are. We're doing through Zuma things that don't have some of these crazy side effects that we're hearing about on some of these GLP-1 drugs. Again, obviously, there's different experiences people have on those GLP-1s, but you know, here when we're talking about natural supplements, chances for any kind of side effect are very rare, if at all. And so I always agree with you, and I've talked about this 100 times, but if we can do something naturally first and support the body's natural abilities to do what God intended to do, then we don't have to resort to pharmaceuticals. But like you, I'm also a fan of if the body's not functioning like it should and the natural methodologies aren't getting the result or not getting the complete result that we're looking for, that's where modern medicine can kind of step in and play an additional role. And like we've talked about tonight, I think the future of peptides is super exciting. I just think it's so early that there's a lot of things we don't know. And if you don't have to experiment on yourself, and you could do these things naturally through natural supplementation and healthy dieting and getting, you know, physical activity, what a great way to do that versus having to resort to the big question mark of, if I do this pharmaceutical path, what's going to happen? Am I going to have side effects? Is this going to work like I hope? You know, those kind of things. So Melissa, as always, I appreciate you taking your time out of your schedule and sharing such valuable information with us. I think that was a great call. I think it's going to be probably one of those well-replayed recordings for us as well because of the content. So thank you very much.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I was very excited about this. I was like, oh, people need to know. Because we talk about it, but it's like a word we're throwing around, but no one really knows. Like when you start talking to someone, they'll be like, what? They don't know what it is. But it is what it is. And we've always had it. And it's just about enhancing what we have. And I did want to end on, there are some really good natural peptides that support the body, not necessarily replace anything. So that's good to know too. And I just am excited about the research that's going to be coming out, even in that arena where it's from a more nutraceutical as well as pharmaceutical information. It's going to be, you know, we're going to get. So that's exciting. But thanks for having me. This was a great call. I enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks, Melissa. And folks, thanks for listening in tonight. As always, appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be here. Remember, first and third Thursday every single month, this is when we do these calls. So look for our next one to happen actually next Thursday, first Thursday in July. So look forward to having you guys again soon. And then until then, take care, everybody. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.